Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 20, The Son of Drona Punished. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What you yesterday? Do a little bit better, Lisa. Ato pas priya. Shalilam sandadhe tat samahitaha ajanan api samharam prana krishra upasthite ato pasrisha shalilam Sandhita samadhita ajananapi samharam prana kritsva upasthite ato pasprisya shailalam sandhita samahita Achanan api samharam prana kritsra upasthite ato pasvrishya shailalam sandadheta samahita achanan api samharam Prana Kritsra Upasthite. Ato Pasprishya Salilam. Sandadita Samahita. Ajananapi Samharam. Prana Kritsra Upasthite
Ah.
Atta, thus, upasprishya, touching in sanctity, shalilam, water, sandate, chanted the hymns, tat, that, samahitaha, being in concentration, ajanan, without knowing, api, although, samharam, withdrawal, pranakritsre, life being put into danger, upashtite, being placed in such a position. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Paraparamhansa, Paribrajakacharya, Ashtotara Satasi Siman, Eshi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Since his life was in danger, he touched water in sanctity and concentrated upon the chanting of the hymns for throwing nuclear weapons, although he did not know how to withdraw such weapons. Please kindly repeat. Since his life was in danger, he touched water in sanctity and concentrated upon the chanting of the hymns for throwing nuclear weapons, although he did not know how to withdraw such weapons. The subtle forms of material activities are finer than grosser methods of material manipulation. Such subtle forms of material activities are effected through purification. The method is adopted here by chanting hymns to act as nuclear weapons. Reads a little bit more. Tatha pradukshkritam tija prachandam sarvodisham pranapadam api preksha vishnum jishnor uvachaha. Thereupon, seeing the glaring light spreading all directions, it was so fierce that Arjuna thought his own life to be in danger. And so he began to address Lord Krishna. Arjuna uvacha, Krishna Krishna Mahabahu Bhaktanam Mabayankara Tvam Ekho Dayamananam Apaparugo Sri Samsriti. Arjuna said, O my Lord Sri Krishna, you are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation only in you. Purport. Arjuna was aware of the transcendental qualities of Lord Sri Krishna, as he had already experienced them during the Kurukshetra war, in which both were present. Therefore, Arjuna's version of Lord Krishna's is authoritative. Krishna is almighty and is especially the cause of fearlessness for the devotees. A devotee of the Lord is always fearless because of the protection given by the Lord. Material existence is something like a blazing fire in the forest, which can be extinguished by the mercy of the Lord Sri Krishna. The spiritual master is the mercy representative of the Lord. Therefore, a person burning in the flames of material existence may receive the rains of mercy of the Lord through the transparent medium of the self-realized spiritual master. The spiritual master, by his words, can penetrate into the heart of the suffering person and inject transcendental knowledge, which alone can extinguish the fire of material existence. Om Agyanam Smirandasya Gyanam Janam Chalakayo Chakshuram Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Gravi Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So that was very significant. We chant that prayer after this purport. Om Agyanam Timirandasya Gyanam Gyanam Salakya. You open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, which are blinded with the darkness of ignorance. So the purport finishes the same thing. The spiritual master, by his words, can penetrate into the heart of the suffering person and inject transcendental knowledge, which alone can extinguish the fire of material existence. Again, we are singing, you know, also in Guru Puja. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakka Chiteti Koriyayakha. Ana Korea. Prema Bhakti Jahaiti Abhijabi Nasajati. What is it? No, oh, yeah. First, Chakutan Diloje Janami Janmi Prabhupada Dibokan Hidi Prakashi. Dipokan Hidi Prakashita, that the spiritual master specifically instructs, he gives knowledge. And what is that knowledge? How to extinguish this blazing fire of material existence. Ashwatthama, he has knowledge how to create the Brahmastra weapon. So that takes also a lot of knowledge to learn the science of chanting mantras to create atomic weapons. But what is that knowledge? Is used for destruction. So transcendental knowledge also deals with destruction, but destruction of ignorance. So one can be transcendentally elevated to this spiritual platform, which alone can extinguish this blazing material existence that everybody is struggling in. And just as Arjuna, he's in a very fearful position here. There's a Brahmastra weapon is hurtling towards him. And he's a hero. He's a great Kshatriya. But what is he doing? He's taking complete shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. It's a very fearful situation. But still Arjuna is taking shelter of Krishna. Only you are competent to instill fearlessness into the hearts of your devotees. So this is the transcendental knowledge that it makes one fearless to material existence. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also that just a little advancement on this path of, in transcendental knowledge would save one from the most dangerous type of fear, from the most dangerous situation. And that most dangerous situation or most fearful situation is death, which is inevitable. So we all have to face this very dangerous, fearful situation as we faced it millions and millions of times before. And the result of all of our experience of facing death and the result of all our education in trying to solve the problems of the world, we're in exactly the same position. We have another body and death is awaiting us. So, what is the solution? You need transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge coming from Krishna. Krishna is the original speaker of transcendental knowledge. And the objective of transcendental knowledge is to know Krishna. And when we receive transcendental knowledge, then we can become fearless. Why we are fearless? Because we become dependent on Krishna. We don't become dependent on our abilities. We don't become dependent on our knowledge. We become dependent on Krishna. And therefore devotees become fearless. But no one else can do that, except the bhaktas, the jnanis, the karma yogis, the astanda yogis. They don't come to this point of depending on Krishna. They depend on their own abilities, on their own strength, on their own power. So also it's fearful for them. Because what is our power in the face of death? Our influence compared to the total cosmic energy, which is acting under Krishna's direction anyway, how we can actually fight that energy. So Arjuna, he is rightfully taking shelter of Krishna here. And Prabhupada said Krishna actually proved many times that he gave shelter to Krishna. Especially during the battle, Krishna protected him in so many ways. And actually at the end of the battle, the battle's just finished here actually. At the end of that battle, Krishna said to Arjuna, you jump off the chariot. Arjuna said, why? He said, don't ask questions, just jump down. Arjuna jumped off the chariot. Krishna immediately followed him and jumped off. The moment Krishna left the chariot, the whole thing burst into flames. And Arjuna said, what happened there? What happened there? He said, no. So many people threw weapons at you. You were supposed to have been killed so many times. He said, but I was always there. I protected you. He said, now the effect of all those weapons has to happen. I withheld the effect of those weapons. But now, at the end of the battle, they have to be enacted to keep the sanctity of the mantras that were invoked in these. But I've just postponed them, but they have to act. So the moment they got off, boom, the whole chariot went up in flames. So Krishna always protected Arjuna. Even he didn't know he was being protected. So Krishna would always give full protection Why? Because it's His promise. Aham tam sarva papityo mukshay shrima sucha. I promise. I will give you full protection. Even throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was telling Arjuna again and again, the same thing, to depend on Him, to surrender. Arjuna was still a little bit dependent on his own understanding, his own conditioning, that he was still thinking, it's sinful to kill my family members. He was still holding on to that aspect. He couldn't really let go of that. Again and again, Krishna, so many different ways He's trying to tell him. So then finally, aham tam sarva papi bhyo moksha. Don't worry, Arjuna, you're still holding on to that. That you think you'll be sin. I'll take the sin. If you think it's sinful, anyway, I'll take it. Even if it is sinful, I will accept that sin, Arjuna. Don't worry, Masuchaya. So in any circumstance, Krishna will protect His devotee. Even if it is sinful activity, Krishna says, I'll take it. You don't worry. This is how much Krishna loves His devotee, and He wants to give him that confidence and ability. That, no, I'll take it. I'll even take all the sin, Arjuna. You don't have to worry, and it just completely takes shelter of me. And then the devotees are situated in fearlessness. So this transcendental knowledge Krishna is giving Arjuna, then it comes down through the spiritual masters. Prabhupada is pointing out here in the mercy, in the purport, that His mercy is coming down and extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. The devotees have knowledge. But they're all dancing, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. They're happy. But they're not foolish. They know they're in the fire, blazing fire of material existence. What happens? First thing we wake up in the morning. What's the first thing we do? We come to them. Samsara dabha nanalita lok. They're not foolish. They know we're in a position of. First thing we chant. It's a blazing fire of material existence. We know. But we know we're on the path to get out of this fire of material existence. It's not that, oh, Guruji says everything is peaceful and shanti, om shanti. You don't have to worry. Not that kind of transcendental knowledge. Knowledge of the dangerous situation that we're in. 1/10,000 size, the tip of a hair. And we're manipulating this huge machine. Yantra. How much bigger is this than the size of the soul? How many tips of a hair make up the body? Times 10,000. And we're just like a beast of burden, just like an ass. They bundle him up with as much wood, firewood, or washing as they can. Much, much bigger than the ass. It's huge bundle. It's exactly our position. Tiny little soul, and we've got this huge burden. We're actually trying to enjoy it. Carrying simply a beast. Persons who are not Krishna conscious prophets, they're simply beasts of burden, that's all. Which is carrying a huge burden, which is subject to disease, old age, and death. Thus. So Krishna comes, and the spiritual master comes to give this transcendental knowledge. Dipukan hi dipokashika. This will extinguish the blazing fire of material existence. So here in the purport, Prabhupada is pointing out that the subtle forms of material activities are finer than the grosser methods of material manipulation. Uh, I think we're reading in other Bhagavatam, right? The cause of process of creation, the cause of all, it's explaining the whole creation. And we see in that, in the process of creation, that actually, this is what's happening. All the gross activities are actually coming from finer, from subtle activities. Just like the sound produces ether. Ether, we can't appreciate what it is. We can't touch it. We can't see it. But finer than that is the sound, because that is, the ether is coming from sound. And then the combination of those, then the aspect of hearing is produced. And the combination of the hearing and the sound, air, or the touch sensation. Then the combination of touch and comes the air. So from touch comes air. That's also very subtle, but the touch is more subtle, manifested from the combination of those, then fire, sight, then from that the fire appears. Then with sight we can see form. And then from that combination of those, water appears. Or taste, then water. Then the combination of those, the scent comes. And then from that comes the earth. I am the fragrance of the earth. So from the subtle, the gross is coming. Or we may make some sweet rice. Or some sweet drink. We get some water and some nice flavored things. We make a nice drink and we drink it. It's a very nice taste. We think we've created from the other, but actually the taste is first. The taste comes before the liquid. So the whole universe is conducted like this. From fine, then it comes down to the gross. So in the yogic system, the Ashtanga yogic, then they wind everything backwards. You know, they meditate on the gross body. They merge the earth into the water into the fire into the air into the ether into the mind, like that, into the sound, into that, into the mind, into the buddhi, into the ahankara. They wind everything up. It up. So, the subtle forms of material activities are effected through purification of sound. The same method is adopted here by chanting hymns to act as nuclear weapons. So simply by sound vibration, he has created this nuclear weapon. And Prabhupada gives a nice example in the I don't know, it may even be the second chapter. Anyways, when he's talking about the process of creation, and he's pointing out that just as this material world is created from fine elements to gross elements, ultimately it comes from sound. Even the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. It means the sound, sound vibration. So the practical manifestation comes from sound, because from that the ether appears. Then everything is contained within the ether. So Prabhupada said, just as this gross material world is manifested from the sound vibration right down to the gross earth, the bodies and everything like that. Senses. He says similarly, the spiritual nature is also manifested from sound. He says So the sound we have now is like a junction. You have sound, and then from that comes ether. Then the whole material manifests, all that grows down to earth, earth, water, fire, air, becomes manifest from sound. And Prabhupada says, similarly, the spiritual world is also manifest from sound. The other way, from fine to gross, but also spiritually. Everything spiritually is manifest from sound. And he said that sound vibration is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So just as the sound vibration creates a whole material existence, he said also it creates a spiritual existence. So as you chant Hare Krishna, whatever spiritual advancement you want, that is actually created by the sound vibration of Hare Krishna. You want purity, control of senses, etc. The sound vibration of Hare Krishna will do that. Whatever you need to develop your ultimate spiritual body, it begins from the sound vibration. Just as the sound vibration on the other way down was the source of this gross material body, so similarly for the development of the spiritual body, then also it begins on sound. And whatever you need for that, by chanting Hare Krishna, that is producing it. Just as by the sound vibration in the material world, it produces all the gross elements. By the spiritual sound vibration, it starts producing all the spiritual elements. So there is a system, Ato Sada, Sadhu Sangha, Anath Nipati, like this progress, Ruchi, right up to Prema. So the Maha Mantra will produce all those things. It'll create those things. It'll create that atmosphere. So this is the science of the sound vibration of the holy name. Whatever we need, it'll create that. Just as it's creating whatever we have in this material world. So this is, again, is very subtle. It's actually, it's more subtle than the creating a nuclear weapon. The Ashwatthama is using the sound vibration subtle to create a nuclear weapon, which is a kind of a gross manifestation. It's very powerful. But we use it for developing our spiritual body, our spiritual relationship with Krishna and going back to Godhead. So then it's even finer. Because the sound vibration is acting on spiritual substance. And Prabhupada said in the purport, you should not doubt this. You should not doubt it. Just as we don't doubt that the material manifestation has come from sound, you shouldn't doubt that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, your whole spiritual life will be manifested. Whatever you need, sound vibration will create that. So Krishna is coming to give us his confidence, to make us fearless of this material existence. When we know that we have Krishna's shelter, then how you can become fearless, fearful in existence? If you're really convinced of that, how you can become fearful? And Krishna is telling again and again and again of his glories, of his opulence, how he gives protection to his devotees. We should take shelter of him. Again and again he is telling us that. So it's exactly like a child with the mother or father, with the parents. And he doesn't fear any fear whatsoever. Because he knows my mother, father are there. He's only this big, but he has no fear. If there's any kind of danger, immediately goes to him, and I know they're going to protect me. So Prabhupada said, exactly like that. Exactly like that. We should understand that Krishna is your ultimate protection. He will always give protection. We have to develop that complete faith in Krishna. It's like Krishna's friends, they have that complete faith. There's a big demon Who was it? Parashasura or Keshi demon? One of them, huge. He was, his tail was up in the clouds and he was really fierce. And he was making all these angry gestures and he was going to come and charge them. Krishna's friends are standing there and they just got their shoulders, their hands on Krishna's shoulders and everything. Look at this big demon there. You know, they're tiny little boys and there's a huge, like a mountain. They're just saying, this funny demon, Krishna. They got absolutely no fear. Because they know every time Krishna protects them. And then there's the forest fire. Immediately, Krishna, where is Krishna? Please protect us. And also, then again you ask the question, why are they asking protection from Krishna? Why are they seeking protection? Krishna's promised to give protection. Why do they need to go to Krishna for protection? Why did they suddenly call out, Krishna, there's a big fire, please save us. Krishna's already promised to protect them. That means there's some doubt there or something. They're in Krishna's presence. No, it's explained that they're thinking, oh, here's a big fire is coming. What's going to happen? It's going to burn us all up. Then what will happen? Then we can't serve Krishna. Our existence is only to please Krishna. And if we're not here, then how we can please Krishna? So that fearfulness is, this fire is interfering with Krishna's pleasure. Therefore we don't like the fire. We don't want to be burned. It'll interfere with Krishna's pleasure if we get burned up. Therefore they're calling, Krishna, Krishna, please save us. Because they want Krishna's place. Not they're thinking about their own bodies or anything like that. Or fearful of their own existence. They're simply thinking of Krishna's happiness. We bring Krishna happiness. That's all we ever do. That's all we ever want to do. This fire is going to interfere with that. Therefore, Krishna, please protect us. Because your interest is, your happiness is at stake. Therefore, they take shelter of Krishna. Not simply, oh, everybody, I've got this ailment, Krishna. So many people are approaching Krishna for, they have different hours, save my body, which is destructible anyway, it's just a matter of time. Anyway, better to approach Krishna than not for anything. Sarva karma, whatever you want, whatever desire, at least approach Krishna for it. That's better than not approaching Krishna. But better to have transcendental knowledge. As we get illness, we get in a distressed condition. We pray to Krishna that remove all this distressed condition. No. Very nice verse in Bhagavatam. Tatinu pamkam. Where Lord Brahma is offering to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said this verse, he mentions in the Nectar of Devotion, this verse should be the guideline of devotees. This should be their life, their guideline. How they model their lives around this verse. And that verse is that their devotees, they're sold out to Krishna. And they're completely dependent on Krishna's mercy. And they see everything that's coming, all the distresses, everything that's coming, or even the happiness, happy situation. But the distresses, and they see it's simply nothing but a reaction of my karma, that's all. I don't have to go to Krishna to ask him to relieve it, because it's, I did something in the past to get this, I'm just getting a reaction, that's all. I don't have to bother Krishna about this. And he said that devotee just goes on tolerating the actions and reactions. That's all. Then he still holds Krishna in his heart. He's Krishna's servant. He knows that nothing else. And he just goes on tolerating all these things that are coming. For that person, he said his liberation is guaranteed. Dayabak means it's his natural rightful claim. He goes back to Godhead. He knows he's Krishna's servant. That's all. He's fixed on that. And all the distresses and everything that's coming, you know, it's just a reaction of my past activities. I just do tolerate it, that's all. But I will never forget Krishna. You know. For him, he said it's his rightful claim, he goes back to Godhead. And in the nice example given in the purport, he said, this is a rich man's son. The father, he wants to give the family tradition, the family business, the family heritage to the children. The father works very, very hard to establish them. But he wants to give it to the children. He wants to let them take it. That gives him great pleasure. Let them take it. Let them take over the family heritage, the family fortune, etc. They want to give to their children, if they're, you know, nice children, of course. He won't give it to the foolish children. So that son, who is the heir from the father, the only thing he's got to do to get that heritage, to get all the family property, business, etc., he only has to do one thing: stay alive. That's all. As long as he doesn't die before his father, he automatically gets it. So this is, it's the same example. This Dayabhak means like that. That devotee, he's just dependent on Krishna and he sees everything coming. It's his rightful claim. That's all he's got to do. He knows he's Krishna's servant and it's just a reaction that's coming from my part. That's all. For him, it's his rightful claim. He gets it. He goes back, gets it. That's all. It's very simple. And Prabhupada said, everyone should guide their lines on their spiritual life on this. You're sold out. You don't have to run to Krishna for every little thing. I got a toothache, I got a bellyache. Ask him for anything. You don't have to ask for anything. I'm in this condition now because I'm in a really bad position. Destitute. But why? Well, I made someone else destitute in my past life. Now it's just a reaction for that, that's all. Anyway, whatever position I'm in, Krishna, I'm your eternal. I'm not forgetting your lotus feet. This is what's due to me. I'll accept it. That's all. But I'm never going to forget your lotus feet. I'll never forget I'm your eternal. For that person, guaranteed he's going back. That's all he's got. He just has that consciousness. That's all. So Krishna consciousness is not a difficult thing. You don't have to have so much knowledge, so much. In fact, Krishna says, sarvadhanam, give up the knowledge. Give up the process of knowledge. Why? Because you'll become dependent on knowledge. This is the people get too much knowledge, then they actually depend on their knowledge. They never get Krishna. Because Krishna says, depend on me. But they depend on the knowledge. They don't get Krishna until they give up that process. Knowledge is simply a tool to remove ignorance. You can never get Krishna by knowledge. You can remove ignorance. But Krishna says, no, depend on me. But it's very tricky, especially for the jnanis, because they're very much attached to knowledge, this process. Whatever I'm doing, this is the right process. Nityananda Prabhu criticizing also the jnanis in Navadvipa at that time. That time Naya was the fashion. Because with Naya and logic you can defeat anything, you can turn backwards for anything backwards and refute your own arguments and prove illogical to be logical. By logic you can just do this. If you know the art very well, so whoever was the greatest logician, they were the biggest pundits. So everybody was studying logic then. It was the best thing to do. Because you could defeat everyone then. Then you are considered a big pundit. And Navadvipa was the cultural center of India at that time. So all the pundits were there. And this was the fashion to study Naya. So specifically to these people, Nityananda Prabhu was criticizing. You're all hypocrites. Because you're all attached with this, your knowledge and logic and everything. Like, not only the logicians, but whatever the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, he was criticizing all of them. Because you're attached to your process and you think, by my process, I'm going to understand the Absolute. I'm going to reach the topmost perfection. You're following all these processes. But Lord Chaitanya is here and he's saying, look, I'm coming. I'm giving freely here. Please take the chanting of Hare Krishna. I'm giving freely. Golokara Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. And you're not taking it. You're still attached to your different processes. Therefore, you're a hypocrite. He's giving freely something even greater than you can even imagine with your process. Whatever your process of yoga is, etc., how karma is. He's giving something far, far greater than that. And everybody is thinking, no, but my process is best. Why is it best? Because I've adopted it. And because I'm so great, then whatever I adopt is also very, very great. So I'm very much attached to it. And it's such the best path. Why? Because I chose it, that's why. And I'm the best. So everybody is thinking, my path is the best. Why? Because I'm the best. I chose it, must be the best. So Nitai says, no, you're all hypocrites. You give up these process, different processes. Just depend on Krishna. And in this form of Chaitanya, you don't even have to depend. He doesn't even wait for you to depend. He gives you. Take. Give him freely. Take the holy name. I am giving. So like that, we completely depend 100% on Krishna in all aspects. We don't depend on any ability that we have. We just depend on Krishna. And whatever situation we're in, we just say that's just the way it is. It's just reaction. But still I am completely dependent on Krishna. I know nothing but Krishna. So this is actually the simplicity of devotional service. It's child, you're going back to your second childhood again. You're just like a child. You don't know how great your mother and father are. You know, all you know is that they just give you protection. Anytime you want it, they give you protection. So we may not know so much about Krishna. Actually, what can you know about Krishna? Whatever he speaks, that much you can know. And he comes and he speaks a little, that much we can know. What more you can know about God? He's unlimited. So we take complete shelter of Krishna, specifically in the form of His holy name. And Prabhupada said he's chanting it, it's exactly like that, like a child crying for the mother. If we can adopt this attitude and we can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, with that complete dependence on Krishna, then everything will Krishna will give, one thing after another after another. Everything will be made nice and beautiful. Okay, you try. If we want to endeavor to get Krishna, say, okay, you try. He will let us try. Otherwise, we just depend on, okay, Krishna, I'll do it. You're depending on me, you need it. Whatever you lack, I will carry. Krishna is so kind like that. But those who are completely dependent on Him, Krishna gives everything, even Himself. I cannot repay the love that you have offered me. It's not within my power. This was Krishna's address to the gopis. Even throughout lifetimes of Lord Brahma, I cannot repay the devotional service. Krishna is saying, I'm indebted unto you. I have to reciprocate accordingly to my devotees. But you're 100% sold out to me. I can't match that. I can't match your devotion. Therefore, I become a debtor. Krishna says, I'm indebted to you. This is the... To the extent that Krishna will go, he will give himself completely to his devotee. And that he does. And therefore, Yasoda, Krishna bring Nanda slippers. Krishna puts the slippers on his head and brings to Nanda Maharaj. So this is God's greatness. Not only one-sided. He's the Virat Purusha. He's the universal form. How Allah, God is great. But this is also his greatness. Right? He's picking up the shoes of his father and bringing to his. So anyway, we can learn from this. The art of transformation from finer to gross, and from gross to finer. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said we can create everything that we need spiritually. And he said we should not doubt it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Thank you. Such a good all the problem.
Six processes of surrender by Vinod Thakur. Please tell us when.
Six processes of surrender. What are they?
Do everything favorable. If it is unfavorable, we do not do. Knowing that Krishna is my protector. To always depend on Krishna. And humility. And completely giving oneself.
Yes, doing what is favorable for Krishna and rejecting what is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. So, the example is given of Pradyumna, Krishna's son. He had many sons. Pradyumna, whatever Krishna wanted him to do, even if Pradyumna didn't like it, he would immediately do that. And if Pradyumna really liked to do something, or liked some, and Krishna didn't like that or didn't want that, he wouldn't do it. So this is a very ideal example. It's quite simple, but it's very, very deep if you think about it. You give up anything that is not favorable for Krishna, or Krishna doesn't like. Even I like it so much. But if Krishna doesn't like it, oh, I won't do it. And even if I don't like something, I really, but Krishna likes it, okay. That we can implement in our life. If we think about it, we can see that some things we do like that Krishna doesn't like so much. But Pradyumna, immediately he would reject it. So we can test ourselves like that in our daily life. And the other thing, Nick?
Think Krishna is my protector.
Think Krishna is my protector. Again, we get the vivid example of Drupadi. She was dependent on her own ability at first. She was trying to depend on her own ability to protect, give her protection. And she realized, I can't do it. And then she completely surrendered to Krishna. Now I'm completely dependent on you. Otherwise she could never have done it by herself. Then Krishna supplied unlimited cloth for Drupadi. Body said, why did you wait so long to protect me? I was in such a distressed condition. Krishna said, why did you take so long to call me? I was ready, but you didn't call me. See, ultimately, the end of the line is death. Nobody can get out of that. But ultimately, we have to depend on Krishna if we want to get free over this cycle of birth and death. It's not within our power. No one has that power. So either now or at the time of death, but somehow or another you've got to take complete dependence on Krishna. And one song of Bhakti, another song of Bhakti, what's the name of them? Anyway, he says, you know, I've always tried to enjoy and try to do things by myself. He says, now in the fag end of my old life, I realize everything is you. Now I have to take complete shelter of you, Krishna. So either now or later on in life, you have your material energy just defeats you. You have to take shelter and power and reason. Just not sufficient. But when you're strong and young, you think, I can make it. And then the whole world is telling you, you can make it. My Indra is great, we can make it. We're defeated by material. So either do it now, while we're young, or you have to do it at the end anyway. So might as well just do it now. Depend on Krishna now.
Humility.
Krishna gives how many aspects of knowledge? 24? Bhagavad Gita? 20. 20. He says, this is knowledge, Arjuna. And anything beyond this is ignorance. I declare this to be knowledge, whatever else is ignorance. And then he gives 20 items of... And it begins with humility. The first aspect of knowledge, the items that Krishna says, is humility. Now how is it knowledge, actually? Knowledge, being humble, how is it knowledge? So the idea is that if you're not humble, you won't get knowledge. You approach a teacher, but if you have to, he won't impart knowledge to you. You have to be humble. In all aspects, if you're humble, then you'll get proper understanding. Think humility. If we approach Krishna and we're not humble, then everybody knows Trinada Bhishma, Tororo Bhishma. That is the only way to chant Hare Krishna, actually. Consider yourself more humble than the piece of grass, more tolerant than the tree, always ready to offer respect to others. So it's there. This humility is the jewel of a devotee. Greatest jewel. Because if he has that, then everything else will come automatically. But if he doesn't have it, it's very difficult for anything else to come. The knowledge won't come, the knowledge, ignorance. It's a tool for cutting ignorance. But if we're not humble, we're not going to even get knowledge properly. We won't be able to begin to cut. It'll take a very, very long time. Another one?
Humility. Completely giving oneself to Krishna.
And completely giving oneself to Krishna. Yeah, again, that's the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Yeah, especially the gopis. And Krishna says, I cannot repay you. And even one young girl, Krishna is approaching the young girl. No, Krishna, you don't come near, don't touch him. His body is the property of Radharani. I dedicate it to her service because she pleases you only. My body is her property. Even you cannot touch Krishna.